All right, then we'll say good morning. Daf Kuf Yudeis. I have to also say, Rabbi Rosenthal told me you left off 5 lines out from the top.
That's 10.
It's 10 lines? It's Mar.
Maybe the whole block.
Alright. Ritzuos, that one?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Uritzuos minal v'sandal. Good. So also, if you remember again, the topic of the Sukkot Yud Beis, Amud Aleph, 10 lines down from the top. So if you remember again, the Mishnah was speaking about the topic of Kshira, and the Mishnah was talking about different types of Ksharim, different types of knots that you are not Chayiv for, if you were to untie them on Shabbos, because again of their impermanent nature. So the Gemara says one of the examples was Ritzuos Minal V'Sandal. So one of the examples is the laces, ties, the straps, I should say, of a shoe and of a sandal. Itmar, Hiti Ritzuos Minal V'Sandal. So that the Gemara calls what was a fascinating Bryce. The Bryce says like this, if you untie the laces or the straps of a shoe and of a sandal, listen to this. Tani chado chayiv chatos. One brayse says you chayiv chatos. But also remember what chayiv chatos means is you did in malacha doraisa. You did something doraisa. Normally, if you did it intentionally, there'd be chayiv a death penalty. But you did it unintentionally, chayiv chatos. Okay. So number one, brayse number one says it's asur min doraisa. Tanya idach patra aval asur. Second brayse says it's a patra aval asur means what rabosai asur min drabanan. Right, patra you're not chayiv. There's no biblical liability, but it's asur min drabanan. Tanya idach muter lechatchila, and the third brisa says that it's totally muter, right? So we'll say three brisos dealing with the same topic of untying the laces of one's shoes or one's sandal. So the Gemara says kasha min alamel kasha sanda sandal. So the Gemara says there's a contradiction between the rulings regarding shoes, contradiction regarding the rulings regarding sandals. So the Gemara says no min alamel kasha. There's no kasha in the cases of shoe on the shoe, meaning there's no contradiction between the raisos. Ha diktani chayiv chatos. When the Bryce has said that you're chayiv chatos, what type of shoe, what type of lace are we talking about? Bidu ushpachi. That's talking about the laces that are tied in by the shoemaker. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi Bosai. Bidu ushpachi. Bekesher sha ushkaf. Ose. Kisha tochiv haratsua beminal. Kosher kesher mitocho shalotucha lotzis v'kaim li'olam. So apparently, when shoemakers would go ahead and put in a lace or put in a strap, they would tie it in such a way that it was a permanent knot. So if you were to tie or untie a shoemaker's knot on Shabbos, you would be chayiv. Why? Because when is there biblical liability? Is when there's a permanent knot. When it's, the Gemara called before, Kesher Shel Kayama. So again, that's Brice number one. So Brice number one that says that you're Chayim Yidoreisa, Chayiv Chatos, is Bidush Bachi. Patra Aval Aser. What's the case of Patra Aval Aser? Brice number two, which said that if you tie or untie, really untying these knots, that's what we're talking about over here, that if you untie, it's Patra, you're exempt from biblical liability, but it's Asim Adirabanon. What type are we talking, what type of knot are we talking about over here? Bidirabanon. That's the rabbi's knot. What's the rabbi's knot? Look at Rashi. B'dirabanan, kishekoshrim saviv raglayim, when the rabbis would go ahead and tie the laces or the straps around their feet, in koshrim b'dochak, they wouldn't tie it very tight. Shepamim shecholzo kishukasher, v'noalo kishukasher, umir keshesha kayama lohabi, shebishas hatit matirin oso, the kosher also bedochak shlo yidbak betit v'yishvat regov. So we'll say, interestingly enough, when the rabbis would tie on their shoes, I guess to save time, you know, by the chassidim, they dafka wear shoes without knots, right? Slip-ons. So part of it is hashkafa, part of it is halacha. The hashkafa is to save time. Why should a person lose time in life going ahead and tying shoes? You save yourself moments each and every day, and part of it is halacha regarding Shabbos. So the Gemara over here says that when the rabbis would tie their straps around their feet, so often they would tie it loosely, so that they'd be able to put on and slip off the shoe without tying and untying the knot. Aye, that sounds like it's a kasher shel kayama. That sounds like it's a permanent knot. If so, it should be asur min doraisa. No, because there were times where they would untie it and tie it tighter. When let's say they were passing through water or mud, if your shoe, think about it, remember, if your sandal is tied onto your foot, if it's not tied tight enough, then what happens? When you take your foot out of the mud, your foot comes out, and the shoe remains. So because it essentially was a semi-permanent knot, because it was semi-permanent, it's not asur min doraisa, it's also not totally mutter, so what is it? Patra aval asur, it's asur min drabanan. Case number three, Mutzah L'Chatzchila. What's the case of Mutzah L'Chatzchila? B'divnei Mechuza. That's talking about the people of Mechuza. What happened with the people of Mechuza? Rashi says, Shehem Rechavei Levav U'makpidin Al Levushehen. So they were very meticulous individuals who were always very, very, very carefully dressed, very meticulous on their dress. They would tie their shoes very tightly because they wanted the snug fit of their shoes. They wanted everything to be just perfect. Because it was tied tightly, therefore what would they have to do at the end of every day? They'd have to untie the knot because there'd be no way to slip their feet out of that. Because of that, that's clearly an impermanent knot. Such an impermanent knot is mutter even l'chatchila. So the Gemara essentially says that there's no contradiction between the braisos, because each brais is dealing with a different case. Sandala, sandal, lo kasha. There's no contradiction between the sandals either. Hodik tani chayiv chatos, when the brais said that shechayiv chatos for the sandal, bidetai diktari ushbachi. That's talking about the type of knot that's tied by the Arab merchants who tie a shoemaker's knot. Potzer ava osser. What's the case of potzer ava osser? Bidichumarta diktari inhu. Look at Rashi. Bidichumarta. So Rashi is diktari inhu. Elu sandalim shem shar anashim. She'in rutsuos kavuos ben ayyidei uman. Elehim atzman koshrin osa bichumarta va'alma. The koshrin umatirit upamim shemis kaimim shabbos achodesh. Amateur knot. So what happens on an amateur knot? So an amateur knot is not necessarily tied to be permanent, but often a person would tie it and would leave it like that for a while, slip their foot in and out. Therefore, it's patal ava asar. Mutzal chatzchila. What's the case of mutzal chatzchila? Besandal denafki ve beitrei. That's talking about a sandal that's shared by two people. So we'll say, what's the chap, the sandal that's shared by two people? Look at Rashi. Denafki ve beitrei. The tzarik kol echad ve echad likshal avi raglo. Hilchach bechol yom koshu matiro. If a sandal is shared by two people, so what by definition happens? It has to be untied each and every day. Because again, if I use it, I'm going to tie it one way. And if you use it, you're going to tie it another way. Therefore, again, clearly that's a clearly impermanent knot. And therefore, mutzal l'chatchila. So the Gemara says, kidir av Yehuda. And this idea, of the Gemara illustrates this case of the sandal being shared by two people with the situation of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, achuho de Rav Sala Chasida, Rav Yehuda, the brother of Rav Sala Chasida, Havliyahu Zuga de Sandali. He had a pair of sandals. Zimnin de Nafik Be'ihu. Zimnin Nafik Be'yenuke. Sometimes he went out with the sandals. Sometimes his child went out with. So he shared the sandals with his child. Aslikami da Abaye. So he came before Abaye and he said, Amrle, ki ay gav namai. So Rav Yehuda wanted to ask Abaye, what is the halacha with these sandals? Right? Could I untie them on Shabbos? Abai said to him, if you untie it on Shabbos, chayiv chatos, which Rabbi Yehuda would mean what? That it's asur midaraisa. To which Rabbi Yehuda says, Amrle hashta, batal ava asur kakashili, chayiv chatos ka'amritli. So Rabbi Yehuda says to Abai, I don't know what you're talking about. If you would have even told me, batal ava asur, I was prepared you were going to tell me that it was asur midarabanan. And then I was prepared to argue with you. And now you're telling me that it's asur midaraisa? So he says, my timer. So Abaye says, no, tell me, why is it that you think that it should be mutter? Amalei, Rabbi Yehuda responded, Yishum de bechol nami, zimnin nafikna be'ano, zimnin nafik be'yenuka. To which Rabbi Yehuda responded, because even during the week, sometimes I wear the sandals. Sometimes my child wears the sandals. So Rabbi Yehuda said, because they're worn by different people, obviously they're tied and retied each and every time for the individuals wearing it. Amarleha, oh, Sabai said, you didn't tell me that. Ihaki mutu lechatchila. If that's the case, ein achinami, then such a sandal is mutu lechatchila. I should say, the tying and untying of such a sandal is certainly mutu lechatchila. Rabbi Yirmiya hava ka'azl basrei de Rabbi Avo, the Carmelis. Rabbi Yirmiya was walking behind Rabbi Avo in a Carmelis. If sick, ritsua de sandale. The strap of his sandal ripped. Amarleha, he said to him, mai na'ovidla. What should I do with the sandal? So look at Rashi for just a moment. If sikrutsu the sandale, the nafa sandal miraglo, sha'adea sandal hu umed, sha sandal pasuach mi'al gabav, utsedadav shal eitz o shal or, shaluk, vikasha, v'haritsuos nikshaz agav haregel, u ma'amidos osu. So Rashi just explains what a sandal is. A sandal is exactly the way you imagine it. It's really what today we call a sandal. It has a bottom. The only difference over here is these sandals seem to have some level of sides to them as well. But the top was open and you had straps that went over the top to hold the sandal onto the foot. So now what happens? So now the strap ripped from the sandal. So I will say, the issue over here also is, and we're going to get into this more in the sugya, is does the sandal, once it rips, essentially become mukta? Because once it rips, it can't really be worn as a shoe. Once it can't be worn as a shoe, then ultimately, what is it? And what is it? So Amarle, so to which Rabbi Yirmi gave, to which he was given the following etzah. Amarle, shakol gemi lach, the chazi lemaichel behema, go ahead and take a moist reed that's usable for animal food, the korek iluye, and essentially make a strap out of the reed. I guess the reed was strong enough to... So again, the reed itself is not mukta. Obviously, must have been detached from the ground because you can't detach the reed. But assuming the reed is already detached from the ground, it's not mukta because, again, it's fit for animal feed. And tie it onto the shoe and use that as a strap. It's not going to be a problem with kshira because clearly, again, this is an impermanent knot. Your intention is not to use this long term. Abai habikai kamed Rav Yosef. Abai was once in front of Rav Yosef. If sikle ritsua, and his strap to his sandal broke, only mai avidle, what should I do with this? Amarle, shafkein. So Abaye said, leave the sandal here. You'll come back for it after Shabbos. I, the Gemara says, Maishnam Rabbi Yirmiyah. Why did Abaye give a different eighth to Rabbi Yirmiyah? Right? Rabbi Yirmiyah said, tie the reed onto the sandal. Why did Abaye not permit that? Simple. Hasam lo minter, hacha minter. To which the Gemara says, the difference over there is in case number one, the sandal broke in a place that was not guarded. So there was a concern that if you leave the sandal there, what's going to happen? It's not going to be there after Shabbos. Masha Inkin in case number two, where the place where the sandal broke was a guarded area, and there was no problem to leave it there until after Shabbos. Vaha manahu. This whole discussion presupposes that a broken sandal is mukta. It's mukta, and that's why you have to go ahead. That's why you can't just, if it breaks, you can't just stop, pick it up, put it in your pocket, and take it home. You have to figure out some way to essentially make it back into a sandal. So the Gemara says, why? Vaha manahu. It's still considered to be a utensil. Why? The iba'ina hafich nale miyamin l'smol. But this is very interesting because the Gemara says, if you want, look at Rashi for just a moment. V'hamanahu v'amai asul taltol v'ha adayin toras min al alav. You should be able to carry it because it's still considered a shoe. Why? Look at the next Rashi. The iba'ina hafich nale miyamin l'smol shasandol yeshlo tre tarsios. The heim shall or makom kviyas ratzios. So also, we're not going to get too into, Talmudic sandal technology, but just suffice it to say that the sandal had two what Rashi calls tarsios, which are strap holders, which essentially meant the way their sandals were fashioned is that if, let's say, the sandal that you were wearing on one foot, if the strap holder broke, you could still technically use it, transfer it to the other foot, and use it like that. So the Gemara says that even if the strap of the sandal breaks, of let's say of the right foot, you could use it on the left foot. In which case, what? It's still considered to be a mana. It's still considered to be an actual sandal, and therefore it shouldn't be mukta. Amrale, midikamataritz Rabbi Yochanan alibud Rabbi Huda, shmamin halacha k'Rabbi Huda. So the Gemara says the fact that Rabbi Yochanan gives his answer in accordance to Rabbi Huda, seems to be the halacha follows Rabbi Huda. What did Rabbi Huda say? Maihi. This is how you listen to this. Sandal shenifsegu shtei oznav o shtei tarsiosav. If you have a sandal and the two oznav literally are the ears. The ears refers to the flaps, to the straps, not flaps. Shtei oznav o shtei tarsiosav. The tarsiosav are the part that holds the strap. You also have, how even like you have it today. It sounds a little bit different. You have the strap, and let's say today, so you'll have that. What do you call that? The metal thing, the. Eyelet? I-S-L-E-T. Oh, eyelet. Grub. Okay, the metal.
The metal thing was...
What? I know. All right, so now I try. Right. So you have the thing that holds it. Obviously, anytime you have a sandal, you have a strap, and you have something that holds the strap in place. That's the tarsiosav. So the Gemara says like this: sandal shifts kushte osnav shte tarsiosav. If you have a sandal and the two straps or the two strap holders broke off, oshenital kolakaf shalo, or the entire sole was taken off. Tahor means, I will say that it's no longer a kli. So whether that means if it was Tameh, it loses its Tumah status, or it's not able to be Mekabel Tumah. As we've seen before, the only time an object can be Mekabel Tumah is if it has a designation of a Kli. Once it loses its sandal straps, or its sandal hole, or the holders, strap holders, or the sole, it's no longer a Kli, therefore it's Tar. Achos mi Aznav, o achos mi Tarsiosav. But, however, if it goes ahead and loses one of its straps, or it loses one of its strap holders, o shenital rov hakaf shalo, or it goes ahead and loses most of the sole, but some of the sole is still intact, tame, the item is still considered to be a kli, and therefore, again, either if it was already tame, it's still tame, or ultimately it's still capable of receiving, of being mekabel tuma. Rabbi Huda says like this, no, nifsika pnimes tame, hachitzona tar. So also, Rabbi Huda takes a very interesting approach. Rabbi Huda's position is, it depends which strap broke off. If apparently what they had is they had an inner strap and an outer strap. If the inner strap broke off, it's still considered to be a sandal. It's still considered to be a shoe or a sandal, and therefore it's a kli, and therefore it's mekabel tuma. If the outer strap breaks off, then what? Then it's no longer considered to be a sandal. Why, Rabbi Ozai? According to Rabbi Huda like this, if you have an outer strap that breaks off, so you're going to have to go ahead and somehow reattach that. You can't reattach the strap to the sandal without what? Without it being noticeable that you reattached it. Rabbi Huda says people won't wear those kinds of sandals. No one wants to go around, walking around with a sandal that has patchwork on the outside. If it's on the inside, it's fine. Why? Why? No one sees it. No one sees it, right? If it's on the inner part of your foot, no one's going to see it. If it's on the outer part, so therefore, according to Rabbi Huda, even if one strap breaks off, but it's the outer strap, essentially the sandal loses its designation as a kli. I'm sorry? So Rabbi Huda will say it's not a function of being usable, it's a function of, will people use it in this state? And because people will not use it, there's no... That's what usability is measured by. Will people still use it? Will people still use it? So therefore, again, Rabbi Huda holds that in this case, people will not use it, and therefore it's tar. So we'll say this is the fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Huda and Tanakama. Tanakama holds that halacha lemaisa, if one of the straps broke off, the sandal is still considered to be a sandal, and therefore again over here it's regarding tumantara, it's still tame. Rabbi Huda holds that no, it depends which strap broke off. If the outer strap broke off, if the inner strap broke off, then in achinami it's still a kli. If the outer strap breaks off, then it's no longer a kli. So the Gemara says like this: Amr ulavi timur rabba bar brachana amr Rabbi Yochanan ki machlokes leinyan tuma kach machlokes leinyan shabbos. The same way that there is a machlokes for tuma, there is also a machlokes regarding Shabbos. Regarding Shabbos, so the Gemara says, avalo leinyan chalitza, but there is no machlokes regarding chalitza. I will say, what is chalitza coming over here? Remember, you have to use a sandal, right? You have to use a minnal. You have to use a shoe, right? For chalitza. So the shaila is, what's going to be the definition of a shoe? V'havinan ba. And we ask regarding this, Rabbi Yochanan aliba diman. Whose opinion before does Rabbi Yochanan reflect? Ilei ma aliba derabanan. If you say it reflects the opinion of the Rabbanan, midile inyan tuma manahabi. Since this sandal, with only one strap, will still be a kli regarding tuma. So too for Shabbos, even if it just loses one strap, it should still be considered a kli. And therefore, what will say? Therefore, it's not mukta. Aval lo lechalitza. But again, you're going to tell me then that for chalitza, so for Shabbos it's a kli, for tuma it's a kli, but for chalitza it's not a kli. The hot time, but we learn chalitza shall small biyamin chalitza sekshera. So we'll say the Gemara says, the Mishnah says a very interesting idea. If a woman went ahead and let's say the yavam, so this, remember chalitza is the process. If a man dies without children, so there's a mitzvah upon the surviving brother to marry the widow. If the surviving brother does not want to marry the widow, there's a process called chalitza. So the way the process of chalitza is done is that the woman removes the shoe of the potential yavam of her surviving brother-in-law, spits in the shoe, there's a whole crack, the whole process there. So the Gemara says, for example, chalitza shall small biyamin. Let's say the yavam was wearing his left sandal on his right foot. So what's the halacha? And she removes that sandal. Chalitza sekshera, the chalitza is good. So we'll say, what do you see from there? You see from there that even an imperfect shoe setup is still good for chalitza. Because here she's supposed to remove the right shoe. from the right foot. Instead, she ends up removing, he's wearing the left shoe on the left foot, and yet the chalitza is good, which would seem to indicate that even a compromised shoe, right, should be good enough for chalitza, just like a compromised shoe is good enough for tumah purposes, and for Shabbos purposes, ve'ala alibet Rabbi Yehuda, right, Rabbi Yochanan must be reflecting the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Midi le'inyon tumah lav manahu, le'inyon Shabbos nami lav manahu. But if that's the case, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the same way that Rabbi Yehuda holds that if it loses the outer strap, it's not considered to be a kli for tumah purposes, nor is it considered to be a kli for Shabbos purposes, therefore it would be muktzah, avalo lechalitza demanahu. But is that true then that he would hold that by chalitza it is a kli? So the Gemara says, Eimar da'aminon chalitza shal small b'yamin chalitza sekshira hecha del milsei manahu. Haha, the mil say lach manahu. So the Gemara says, when do we say that if the woman removes the right shoe from, the left shoe from the right foot of the yavam, that the chalitza is good? That's only true if the object that she is removing has the identity as a shoe. But if the item did not have the identity of a shoe, like according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it lost the outer strap, then for chalitza it would not be good. To Hamar Rabbi Yehuda, nifseka chitzora tar, ama lach manahu. So the Gemara says the Olam Alibud Rabbi Yehuda. So in reality, Rabbi Yochanan reflects Rabbi Yehuda's view. Eima v'chein lechalitza. So Rabbi, you have to change the brisa to read, and so too for chalitza. V'ha kamash malan v'chi amirin chalitza shal small b'yamin chalitza sekshera. And this comes to teach us that when do we say that if she removed the left shoe from the right foot of the yavam, that the chalitza is kasher? Heicha didinil se mano. That's only talking about a case where what? That's only talking about a case where the shoe is good for its, the shoe is usable for its intended purpose. Aval hocha limil se lav manahu. But in this particular case, this Kohen Rabbi Yehuda, where it loses the outer strap, it's not even fit for a shoe. So I will say, bottom line, is that Rabbi Yehuda's shita will go all the way through. It's true for Tumah, it's true for Shabbos, and it's true for Chalitza. That halacha lemaisa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the shoe loses one strap, it still potentially has a designation as a shoe. It just depends on what? Which strap it lost. If it's the inner strap, then eino chinami, it still has the status of a shoe. Which would mean then that it's still mekabel Tumah, because it's a kli, which would then also mean that it's not muktza because it's a kli, which would also mean that it's good for chalitza because it's a kli. But same theme. But if it loses the outer strap, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, people will no longer wear such a shoe even after it's fixed. People will no longer wear it, and therefore again, halacha lemaisa, it's no longer mekabel tumah because it's not a kli. For Shabbos, it would be muktza because it's not a kli, and for it would not be good for chalitza because it's not considered a shoe, i.e. kli. But did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Rashi says, "The halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda." Did Rabbi Yochanan really paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? After all, the Gemara says, "Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'stam mishnah." Rabbi Yochanan also said that the halacha follows the stam mishnah. What's the stam mishnah? Utnan sandal shnifseka achas me'aznav v'tikna. If you have a sandal, and one of its, again, osnav literally means ears, which you know means straps. One of its straps broke off, the tikna, and you fixed it. Tame midras. So it is tame tumas midras. Rabbosai, look at Rashi. Tame midras. Im haya shalzav, haya tame midras, lo tar mitumas, kishnifska baodeno avatuma. So let's say, for example, these are the illustrations. Tumas midras is tuma that's conveyed either by sitting, leaning, or supporting your weight against something. So if you think about it, interestingly enough, if let's say a person is a zav, right, the person is tummy from one of these types of emissions, so what happens? If a person stands, puts on their sandals, so they're essentially leaning, they're putting their full weight on the sandals. The sandals therefore become tummy tumas midras. So let's see the following situation. The zav is wearing his sandals. So the sandals therefore are tummy tumas midras. And then what happens? One of the straps breaks off, the tikna, and he fixes it. Tame midras. So again, the sandal is still considered to be, the sandal itself is still tame midras. Still tame midras. Which also means that even though one strap broke off, the object never lost its tumah. Nifsikoshnia, if the second strap breaks off, the tikna, and now you go ahead and he fixes it. Tahor, mila tame midras, so the object is no longer tame tumas midras. Aval Tomi Mago Midras. So also, interestingly enough, the Brisa says that if the second strap breaks off, the object becomes totally tar. And remember, also, I want to point out, it's Nifsika V'tikna. Right? Remember, case number one is the strap came off, strap number one came off, and you fixed it, the object is tame. Right? Now again, tame means it's still tame. It was tame before, and hasn't lost its tumah status. Second strap breaks off, and now you fix it, the object is tar. However, it's only tar tumas midras. There's another type of midras, which is that if something that becomes tame tumas midras touches another object, that's called mago midras, or magos midras, which is a lower form of tumah. So it can still contract this lower form of tumah. My love. I'm sorry?
Still has to be a
kli. My love, loshna pnimis veloshna chitzona. So the Gemara says, now, interestingly enough, the Braisa is not mechale. The Braisa doesn't make any distinctions in terms of which strap is breaking off. Right? In case number one of the straps broke off. And the Braisa says the kli itself is totally fine. So the Gemara says, you see from here, there's no distinction between whether it's the inner strap or the outer strap. Who's the opinion with this refute? This would refute Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that if the outer strap breaks off, all bets are off, it's no longer a kli. So the Gemara says, lo, pinimis dafka. No, the Braisa is talking about it when it says the case of the one strap breaking off, that's the inner strap. Aval chitzona b'mai. What would happen if the outer strap broke off? Tahar, then enoch inami, the object would be totally tahar. Because once the outer strap breaks off, the item loses its designation as a kli. So the Gemara says, 1 second, ihochi, if that's the case, adetani nifsika shnia v'tikna tar min amidras, aval tami maga midras, niflog bididei. So the Gemara says, then you should write, the Braisa should have been written differently. Instead of going ahead and writing the second case of the Braisa, which was where the second strap came off and was then fixed, the Braisa says, in that case, the object is totally tahar, but it's still tamei maga medras. Why don't you make a finer distinction? But medvar mamurim, remember, case number one in the Braisa was where what? One strap of the sandal breaks off. So what did the Braisa say? That the sandal is still tamei, which means what? Which means what? That the object is still a kli. So the Gemara says, why don't you further qualify that? But medvar mamurim, when is that so? Shenifsika pnimis. That's only if the inner strap broke off. Aval chitzona, but if the outer strap broke off, then what? Then enachinami tar, the object is no longer a kli. But the Gemara is saying is, if what you're saying is true, that if the outer strap breaks off, the object is tar, like Rabbi Yehuda, then instead of going from a case of 1 to 2, be mechalik better, right? Make a finer distinction within the case of 1, to which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yitzchak ben Yosef, Terei nishnasein lebesandol shiyesh ba'arba aznaim, Va'arba tarsiosim, shalavishpor dvav shrav Yochanan. To which the Gemara says, a very interesting answer. Rav Yitzchak ben Yosef says, you know what? You could just easily set up the Braisa as a case of where there are, he says, 4 straps and 4 strap holders. Where halacha l'maaseh, in such a case, even if one breaks off, it doesn't really matter which side is coming off. Why? Because it's not necessary for the usage of the kli. All right. Ki asa ravin amarav chanan bar ama amarav, halacha k'rav Yehuda. So he said halacha k'rav Yehuda. So I will say again, halacha k'rav Yehuda means that if the outer strap falls off, then halacha l'maaseh, the object is no longer a kli. And also, remember, we pointed out that the position of Rabbi Yehuda, has reverberations in other areas of halacha. So far we've seen Shabbos Toma Chalitza. For Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Ein Halacha K'Rav Yehuda, and Rabbi Yochanan says no, the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda. Omi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Does Rabbi Yochanan really say this? V'ha midimetarit Rabbi Yochanan alibad Rabbi Yehuda, Shema minak Rabbi Yehuda sviralei. But the Gemara says, but 1 second, but Rabbi Yochanan himself was the one who explained the brachos earlier as in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. That would seem to indicate that he passes like Rabbi Yehuda, to which the Gemara says, no, Amorohi ninu v'alibad Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says, interesting, that there's a machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan is a Tano, there is a machlokes Amoraim as to what was the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Right? What was the position of Rabbi Yochanan? Did Rabbi Yochanan hovik Rabbi Yehuda? Did Rabbi Yochanan not hovik Rabbi Yehuda? And that's why, again, you'll see versions quoting Rabbi Yochanan both ways, because it's machlokes amoroim. Tanan hasam. The Braisa goes weiter. The Braisa, just so you should know, the Rambam adapts the position of Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha, the Braisa, at least for the Talmudic sandals, where, again, the whole chapel of according to Rabbi Yehuda is, if you repaired that outer strap, the work would be clear, the stitching, everybody would see the stitching. So the Rambam adapts the position of Rabbi Yehuda, that halacha, people would not normally go out with that type of patchwork on their sandals, and therefore, again, if the outer strap comes off, then Einachinami, the sandal, loses its designation as a kli. Okay? Tanan Hassan, the Gemara said the following, Kormar Chosa Braisa. Kol Kli Bali, this is very interesting, Braisa. Kol Kli Bali Batim, Shurin Karimah. So you've seen this a number of times already, that for a kli bali batim, which means your normal householder's utensils. So remember, we've pointed out before that a kli is only considered to be, is only tame, or makabel tuma, if it really has the ability to be a receptacle. Once it loses its ability to be a receptacle, then it's no longer makabel tuma. So the shaila is, at what point does it lose its ability to go ahead and be a receptacle? So we've seen a number of different shitos on this already. Right, some want to position it as if it has a hole towards the bottom of the cleave, and a small hole, that will render it unfit because it can't contain any kind of liquid. But others, if you remember again, we saw this price before, that if once it has holes the size of pomegranates, then it's no longer considered a cleave. Because anything smaller than a pomegranate, you could always use it for what? Pomegranates, right? I mean, if it's smaller than a pomegranate, then you could always use it as your pomegranate dish. Once it has holes the size of a pomegranate, then as much as you love that kli, it's no longer has any kind of real function. So the Gemara says, "Kol kli bali batim shirin karimonim." All right. So the Gemara says, once it has holes the size of pomegranates, it's no longer a kli. Boy, Rabbi Chizkia, nikav kimotzi zayis v'sasmo, v'chazer v'nikav kimotzi zayis v'sismo. Ad sheshlimo lemotzi rimon mahu. So I want to ask a very interesting question. So what happens if the pot has a series of smaller holes, right? The size of olives. So it has the hole the size of an olive, you plug it up. Hole the size of an olive, you plug it up. And you keep on getting these holes until when the sum of all of the holes is the size of a pomegranate. It's the size of a pomegranate. So mahu, what is the halacha? What is the halacha? Omer le Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says the following. Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm sorry, only Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi, Shanislani, Rabbi, you taught us, sandal shenifsika achos mi oznov, v'tikna. If you have a sandal and one of the straps came off and you fixed it, tame midras. Then again, the object, the sandal does not lose its designation as a sandal, and it's still tame tumas midras. Nifsika shnia, however, again, if the second one, I'll say again, just to be clear, it's just quoting the previous braisa. So the first strap came off, I fixed it, the object is still tame. Second strap comes off, and I fix it, the object is now, quote-unquote, tahor, which means it's lost its designation as a kli, and therefore it's no longer makabel tuma. So the Gemara says, tame maga midras, fine. Va'amrinu lecha, maishna rishona, daha kaima shnia. Why is it that when the first strap falls off, right, the object is still considered to be a kli, because the second strap is there, right? Because the sandal, so to speak, is not strapless, right? The sandal still has a strap that makes it usable as a kli. Whereas I don't say if that's the case. Shnia nami mitakna rishona. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. But at the end of the day, when the second strap falls off, so what's already there? The first one that has already been repaired. Right? The first one is there, it's already been repaired. So therefore, why is this? Remember, how did the Braisa rule? When the second strap falls off, what's the status of the kli? It's tar, which means it's lost its designation as a kli, but why? The first strap is already there. So the Gemara gives a fascinating answer. But Amritlan, Rebbe, you told us, Amritlan Alea, Panim Chadoshos Bo'u Likan. Panu Chadoshos Bo'u Likan literally means a new face has come here, which means this is a brand new kli. What does it mean? Look at Rashi. Panim chadashos, misheyarda lo tumas medras, nischatshu panim halalu, ve'ein zu harishon, shekvar niskalkil bo, kedei bitul. So once I listen to this. When it comes to strap number two has nothing to do with repaired strap number one. Why? Because repaired strap number one was not part of the original shoe. Therefore, again, when strap 2 falls off, the Gemara suggests that what's happening over here, it's ki'ilu what? That now no original strap of the kli was already there. It's nice that you went ahead and you repaired the strap after it broke, but that is a new innovation that was not part of the original kli, that doesn't have a connection to strap number 2. Therefore, when strap number 2 falls off, it's as if what? Halachically, it's as if the sandal becomes strapless, so to speak, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, it's tahar because it no longer has designation of a kli. Hachinami, the Gemara therefore wants to suggest over here, panim chadashos ba'u likan. So the Gemara says something very interesting. So therefore, he says, we want to suggest over here that panim chadashas balakan. What does that mean? So too over here by the case of the kli. And I will say, what does that mean? That's when you have these multiple holes, as much as you plugged them up, that plug that you put into each of these holes is what? Is a new part of the kli. So to a certain degree, halachically, we're able to look at all of those holes together. And if all of those holes together, Gemara wants to suggest, add up to the size of a rimon, then what? Then aloch lemaisa, the kli loses its designation as a kli, and therefore it's tahor. But it's been plugged up. That plugging up, that material, is panim chadashos balakan. So here the Gemara is introducing a radical new idea, which is that when judging the state of a kli, we look at the kli as it was in its original form. Any additional things introduced over the life of the kli do not necessarily influence the designation and status of the kli. So the same way in the case of the shoe, right? When the first strap falls off and then it's put back on, very nice. But that new strap number one that's put on doesn't have the same relationship with strap number two. So that when strap number two falls off, it's as if what? The original kli, as it was, is strapless. Therefore, it's tahor. Therefore, the Gemara suggests over here that halacha lemaisa, when you have these multiple holes the size of a zayis, so as much as they're plugged up, that plugged up, like that, that material that you plug with, that you fill in the kli with, right? That you fill in the kli with, halacha lemaisa is panim chadashos balakan. And panim chadashos balakan, new face that came here, is not reckoned as part of the original kli. And therefore, all the small holes can actually go ahead and combine to form the shear rimon, and halacha lemaisa would go ahead and render the kli unfit, render the kli the size, the hole with the size of the rimon, and make it lose its status as a kli. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Kari Alei, so he was so impressed. He was so impressed by the statement of Rabbi Yochanan that he said about Rabbi Yochanan, Kari Alei, less din bar inish. He said, this person is not a mortal. This person is not a mortal. Right? Such an individual, he was so impressed by Rabbi Yochanan's knowledge. He said, oh, it's not even a man, Rashi says over here, less din bar inish ala malach. He's more angelic than man. Ika de Amri, others say, Ki gondain bar inish. Others say, no, that what he said is, oh, this is a man. Right? This is a mensch. Amar Rava, Bar Zimuna. So now that we're talking about the greatness of earlier generations, Rav Zera is the name of Rava Bar Zimuna. Imrishonim b'nei Malachim, Anu b'nei Anashim. If the earlier generations, if they were the sons, right, if they were the descendants of kings and angels, or the angels over here, Anu b'nei Anashim, then we are the sons of mortals. Im Rishonim b'nei Anashim, and if the earlier ones were the sons of man, Anu kichamorim, we're like donkeys. Right? V'lo kichamor shabi chanina ben dosa, v'shal rabbi pinchas ben yar. Unless you think that being like a donkey is not so bad, because after all we see stories about some incredible donkeys. The Gemara talks about the stories of the donkeys of Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Chanina ben dosa, Rabbi Pinchas ben yar. For example, the donkey Rabbi Chanina ben dosa would not eat untied produce. Right? Amazing of the donkey of the tzaddik has such a sensitivity that he would not go ahead and eat certain produce. And so to do with the donkey, a donkey of Pinchas ben Yair had to do with when he was rented out, that he would only go ahead and come back to his owner if he was paid the exact rental amount. The point is that these donkeys had a sensitivity to Kedusha. So lest you think that it's not so bad to be like the donkey, we're not even like those donkeys. Ela kishar chavorim. We're like regular donkeys. Okay. V'nodo shal yayin b'shemes. Let's go a little bit further, Rabosai. And the Mishnah also said that you can go ahead and on Shabbos you can untie the skins with wine and oil. Pshita. The Gemara says, obviously you can do that. What's the chiddush? Lotricha de isle tarti one. The difference over here is that it has two one. Rashi says over here. Look at Rashi. Tarti one as naim shekol from the socho ubaachas mian yotzo lohotzi esayin. It has two openings, right? And therefore, again, I might have thought the following: ma'udatema chada minayhu betuli mivatale. I might have thought because it has two openings, one of the openings is normally left tied. because it's normally left tied in what? Then it's a kasher shel kayama, right? It's an enduring knot, and because it's an enduring knot, you would not be permitted to untie it on Shabbos. Kamashon, that's not the case. Kedirah shel baser, if you have a pot of meat, you're permitted to untie that on Shabbos as well. Pshita, that's obvious. What's the chiddush? Lotzricha di isle shlacha. It has a spout. The pot itself has a spout. Ma'u detema betuli mevatule. I might have thought, what's the halacha? See, so essentially there are two ways to get the contents out of the pot. Either through the spout or through the tied opening. I might have thought that since it has a spout, that's going to be the way that people remove the contents from the pot. And therefore, again, when they tie the other opening, it's a permanent knot. And therefore, he cannot tie it on Shabbos. Kamashon, that's not the case. Rabbi Eliezer. We'll stop over. We'll pick up over here tomorrow.
We need to do
the
tomorrow for Shabbos, right? That's what.